Welcome to another episode of the early days of micromobility. Today I have a very special person in front of me, and it's actually one of the first episodes that we do live in person with such an amazing view. And actually what makes it even special, I didn't know, but yesterday was the 1 year anniversary of Good Move, which happens to be a success. So it's a coincidence, but I think we might have a great discussion now. I have Mr. Bart Dons in front of me. Bart Dons, hello. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Why did you actually want to enter the mobility in Brussels? There's a lot of issues and also a lot of things that you need to regulate, especially in Brussels.
Why? It's actually like a part of my political motivation. Why do I want to do politics? It's because when I moved to Brussels, quickly I saw that there was a huge potential in terms of quality of life in Brussels. And the car was a dominant factor here. When I moved in here in Brussels, you still had a highway going through the city, which is now the pedestrian zone, Boulevard Anspach. It's now a pedestrian zone completely, and it works amazingly. But before, you had four car lanes there. And so it was when you come into a place, you see there is so much potential, and you see examples of other cities, like Ghent was for me the big example, what was possible. And we see all the problems as well that are related with the car dominance. There is much less space if you look at the quality of air, and also road security, that were like issues that were highly important for me as a person, also as a now young parent. So you want to live in a city where it's safe, where your kids can go out, can walk, can play without having to be scared that something might happen. Also scared that something might happen with their lungs. And so there was this huge movement in Brussels asking for this change. You had in 2012, you have the picnic the streets, where people started picnicking on the, which is now La Place de la Bourse.
La Bourse, yeah.
Where now there are no cars anymore. But it's before, amazing. there was this four highway lanes. And so people saying, like, we can change. Brussels can change. Brussels can become much more attractive, much more nice to live in, to visit. And I wanted to be part of that change.
You have been many years in mobility, shared mobility. When you look back, I'm sure you were motivated and there's some things that you wanted to change, like you explained now. Yeah. Looking back, what is one of the things that you are most proud of, that you really look back at, like this amazing view, that you say, wow, we really did it, you know? That really motivates you to even go further.
The view was already there. So maybe some buildings came up, but I think the view was already there. But what I'm really proud of, like you said in the intro, it's the anniversary date of Good Move, the new circulation plan, and that's something I'm really proud of. Because it's you also said in the intro, mobility is something really emotional. Something. It's not like building a school can be difficult. But here you really touch the everyday life of all the users, of the habitants, of the people that come work here, of the shop owners, of the enterprises. It touches everybody. And so you have to take that into account. You have to be prepared for like kind of backlash. And so we took a lot of time to prepare the whole implementation of the circulation plan. And to see like 1 year after that things are working, also in terms of feedback we get from people who live here, and also come people who visit here, it's quite positive. When we implemented the plan, I did an interview for it was BX1, and on the background there were two people like screaming, yelling, and it's terrible, and you need to remove the plan. And yesterday I had again BX1 an interview, and there was a couple coming over and really saying, oh, thank you so much. It's much nicer now. We really like what you did. And so you see this change, and that is really something very motivating.
So in a way, actually, you and your team had to be a little bit in a visionary, because as you said, it was a lot of pushbacks because people, they don't like change often. But when you look at the results now, there are some positive results with a good move.
We see much more bikers. Also, bikers, it's also the I mean, shared mobility, scooters, it's also
bus and tram, metro.
We see much more of that. We see much less transit traffic in the city center. Yeah? So these are very positive. We are waiting for more specific results on air quality and sound, but what we already feel, and also the feedback we get, is like the police is getting much less complaints about sounds, because in the Quartier des Quais, very close, we have a lot of streets with cobblestones, and so if you have 1,000 cars less riding on these cobblestones, in 1,000 cars less, that is 1,000 cars who are not riding on the cobblestones. It's much less noise, and for people who live in, even work here, it's much nicer.
People who have like a shop tend to think, okay, we will have less people coming to a shop, but actually if you look at the living standards of people who live here, less noise, but also there's more walkability, people can easily walk to stores and whatever, so it actually improves overall the living standards of the neighborhoods.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree. And here what we also always said is mobility is not an objective as such. It's a means.
Exactly.
And so you make people move to go someplace. That's quite logical in that sense. But here it's also like the mobility, we use it as a leverage. And then we come up with these renovation plans. You saw coming here, we are renovating the whole,
everything,
a lot of streets are being renovated. And to make it more practical for, exactly like you said, for pedestrians, for people who bike, also buses get more access or specific access without the cars then. And so to make them ride faster, that's something we discovered as well. Like they say, it's like a boutade that's used by my colleague in Ghent, the best bike plan is a car plan. And so and that's what we see in the numbers here now in Brussels, and 36% more bikers, because there are less cars in the city. But what we also see is that all the bus lines and tram lines in the city center, in the Pentagon, are going faster. So that means that we can actually
less traffic.
We can increase the offer of our public transport. Because they can move faster in traffic, and that is a very big advantage. It's like the plan is not just for bikers; it's for all other alternative users. And also like people who have a need to drive the car. Now we do not see. We see much less traffic jams in Brussels. Okay. And so that means that even if you ride a car, you have to do a small detour, but the fact that there are less cars makes it more fluid for people who have to drop things off or people who just live here or work here.
Exactly. And so what is the good move strategy in the future? Seeing the results now, are you planning to implement this further on and bigger parts of the city? I am asking this because, for example, when I look at less developed neighborhoods, for example, they often have less access to mobility. Shared mobility doesn't go there because they don't make that much money in those neighborhoods, so they are left out. And the public transport might not be all the best in those areas. But I figure if there's a good move there, that the standards of public transport and shared mobility also might go up.
That's something like it's a very important factor in the city of Brussels. We ask for the regional government to invest in new bus lines, in new tram lines, in the metro here in the city of Brussels, because having the alternative in public transport is a key to make a success of Good Move. Good Move is not just circulation plans. It's also investing in the alternatives, investing in comfortable bike infrastructure, walk infrastructure, and also public transport. And so we are currently building a new tram line in the north of Brussels. We are also making a new connection between Gare du Nord it's Molenbeek, Laeken-Molenbeek. And so we are continuously asking and collaborating with the regional government and the public transport operator, the STIP, to do more investments. And that's not always easy, because there is a lot of contestation from the public.
And the lobby.
When you come with with the works, or there are sometimes less. Yeah, when you put the tram line, there's less space, so less space for parking, and that creates frustrations. Yeah. And so we are very convinced that it is the way forward. You have to create the alternative to have a livable city with more quality of life for everybody, from the smallest babies to the elder people. Because when you're old as well, there will be a time when you will not be able to ride the car anymore.
And so then walking
and public transport is very important. Yeah. And so we will continue. So the Good Move plan is circulation schemes, but also investment in the alternatives. And you need both.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, this is a great segue to jump into the next topic, which is the shared mobility, which has been significant all over the world. But I personally think that when you offer shared mobility, you also need to have the right infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And I think Good Move is a great step towards having the right infrastructure, because you also improve the roads.
Yeah.
You also definitely have the regulations in terms of how many kilometers they can drive, where they can park. Shared mobility, the electric shared scooters, shared bikes, they have been coming up in Brussels over the many years. Mm. And they have sparked some people who are pro, some people who are against. I would like to have your opinion on what was the significance of these shared operators, and how do you think about the future?
Mm. I remember very well one of our first public meetings we did with this majority a couple of years back. It was at the City Hall. You see the tower there.
Yeah.
And the number one topic was the scooters, electric scooters. People were furiated by the scooters. Because they parked everywhere. They were too fast. Yes. They were a danger for the pedestrians. Even they had no friends at all. And so it was quite complicated. Because I think the error the Brussels made here in the beginning was, we'll let them in and we'll see how it goes. And now we are saying, okay, but they can be a very good complement, but they need to be regulated. And I think also the operators themselves, they made the mistake about jumping in immediately. And I think we had, from the beginning, we had to regulate the speed and regulate the parking from the beginning.
Yep.
And there would have been much less frustration with the other users. Because now we have to rattraper. We have to run behind, and then it's always a little bit too late. And people are now there is a kind of negative image on these shared mobility. And so we could have avoided that, because I think at the time they wanted to be pioneer and first, and look here, Brussels is improving, it's innovative, and there are new things. And so now it's I believe it is an alternative, but the speed limits, we already did it, and you saw it as well with the operators when we waited, there was this regulation on the regional level.
Okay.
But here in the city of Brussels, we didn't wait for the regulations. And luckily, the operators, they also saw that, okay, we cannot wait. We have to act now. And so we have to reduce speed in pedestrian zones. If we do not do that, they will throw us out, because it comes too dangerous. There's too much people there. And so we were able to reduce the speed, and immediately the planes dropped. And so now the complaints are about the parking, and I completely agree with the users, non-users, but the people who visit or live here in Brussels. We cannot tolerate the fact that when you guard your house, sidewalks are sometimes small, and then you have this scooter parked on the side, it's not, we cannot tolerate
Imagine in a wheelchair.
If you're in a wheelchair, if you have a kid, in it's impossible. And so now we have also, we started it in the beginning of this year, actually last year, with the event zone. And so there we created the drop zones as a test, and it worked. It worked. It's not, it's technology, you know, if every, every
if
operator,
there, people use it, right?
The operate, and the operators, they have to implement it in their software, and then it can work. So now we have around 50 drop zones in the city center. In the months to come, we will increase it to 100, even 200. So we'll be able to cover the whole of the Pentagon, the city center. And then we'll move to the whole of the city of Brussels area. So that's Laken, Nidoverheimbeek. We'll also be, we also do the drop zones. And I believe if the operators play the game right, and so they have to adapt their software, then it can work.
What is the timeline? Do you have any timeline in mind for?
Like the Pentagon will be normally, it's for this year. And then next year we'll do the other zones.
Some communes actually implemented drop zones in 2019, 2020. So I could not understand why, you know, in 2023, it was still not fully implemented. But I guess in Brussels, you need to take into account with the opinion of each commune or the...
No, it's more like you had communes who wanted to go faster and who didn't want to wait the regulatory framework. And so they implemented it. Like we also, we didn't, we started last year. So to immediately have this certain zone regulated. And now we're also continuing. The regulatory framework is, it has to pass one last time, I think, in the regional the parliament. But the preparations are going on because we need to, something needs to be done. And so now you have this, once you have this regulatory framework for the 90, it's like you have to compare it with the whole of Flanders. In like there is a much of diversity in Flanders. It's one region. Brussels is 19 communes, but there will be one framework. In Flanders, there will be, I don't know how, 250 regulatory frameworks. And so one city that is where it's not authorized, other cities where it is authorized. Here in Brussels, it will be like for 1.2 million people, it will be one coherent zone.
Okay, so from now on, it will be all the same regulations all over Brussels. With the new tender, that's, I mean, when the tender is finalized.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's going to be better, actually, because, you know, the and parking so regulations will be the same all
then, over. It's just like the like what I said in the beginning, they had let the scooters in without all the drop zones, but now you have all these communes who need to create these drop zones. But like for the city of Brussels, it's 200 to 300 drop zones. That's a lot. I cannot snap my fingers and create these drop zones. So that it's, it needs time. It's also not the only issue of a mobility issue in the city. And so that takes time, and for other communes as well. And I have the impression that a lot of communes are really moving on the subject. So that's a good thing.
You know, once you have the drop zones, sometimes, I mean, you still need to regulate it, right? And make sure that they actually respect the rules, because coming here to Brussels, I was walking and I saw that there was a truck, a truck driver who had to get out of the truck and replace scooters because there was a drop zone, but there were so many scooters in that drop zone. So he couldn't pass. So I was wondering how you will you know, try to fix those challenges in the future, because those challenges, even when you have the drop zones,
there are, I think that's not my job to look for the solution. And the solution is technology. And the solution there is that the operators have to make, have to have a kind of system where the drop zones will, once it's full, then they have to go somewhere else to park their scooter. And so I think there I really look at the sector to come with solutions, because finally it's their users that need to have a certain comfort. And when they see, like, okay, there are already 10 scooters in that drop zone, okay, I will direct the user to another, my client, my client to another drop zone where there are less, because what we will do is we will make sure that there are enough drop zones. But then it could be that one zone is heavily used.
And I think you know, now you have 9 operators. I guess once the tender is over and there's only two,
It will be easier.
It will be easier, right?
Because now it's like every operator has to adapt their system. They have to implement the plan with the drop zones, and they have to adapt it themselves. It takes some time. Sometimes there is an error, and so it's a lot of work. It will be easier once there are just two.
Because I wanted to ask you these questions regarding the number of operators after the tender, right?
For me, the most important thing is the number of scooters finally in the region.
Yes.
Because that really has to be reduced. Mm-hmm. And there are too much. I sometimes wonder what the financial
they don't look
system is because it costs
it's
something.
Burning money.
And so how can you have a financial sound plan when you just put enormous amounts of these scooters everywhere? And so reducing the number for me, because finally the people will come with complaints to me. That's an important element. I heard also that there is discussion about two. Is it dangerous? Maybe prices will go up. We have to follow that up. My opinion is that I think that it's quite pricey at the moment. Sometimes I wonder how, I see a lot of young people using the scooters. Sometimes I really wonder, well, how do they pay you're quickly, or you pay 2-3 euros for one ride, and that's not cheap. And that's something I wonder, and I see that operators are also thinking about social systems.
Social tariffs and
tariffs.
Bold,
that's a good thing. That's a good thing that they take it into account, because that's something we'll have to look into. Yeah,
the price. Because I think from the perspective of a government body, I think it's also important to kind of like protect the citizens, so that they will have access to the scooters. Because when you have only, let's say, two operators, after a while, it will become an oligopoly. The prices will go up.
But I think that the control it will be done by the regional government. But it's very easy, I think, to compare prices in other cities. If suddenly we see prices going up here in Brussels, we'll see that another city where they are also working, the price is much lower. Mm-hmm. You can challenge them and ask, how is it possible that here in Brussels you ask double the price? Hypothetically, than another city. And if we see that, I think the regulator, the regional government, will intervene. But also, what I think is important about the shared mobility is that it is. I see shared mobility really as an a complement in the multi-mobility strategy.
Metro, tram, bus.
I think people who are really using it from day to day and for to go to work. I think they will mostly buy a bike
that
or buy a scooter. I think the added value of shared scooters is more people who come freelancers who come to the city and who they take a train and they still have to do 1 kilometer or 500 meters to the workplace. They take the shared the scooter. Also young people who take it to go out or to go back home. Like, it will be like a complement to a good public transport. People who ride the bike, they won't especially use it from, sometimes they will use it when they take public transport, for example, or somebody who uses it to go to their shared car, Combio station, something like that. So I think
it's complementary.
It's complementary, And so the discussion, I think, in Paris was also about, but the numbers of these scooters, and then you have the whole ecological question: the batteries used, how durable is this when they just use it as plastic bags? You have so
also
much
the social aspect, the workers and so on.
Exactly, and so you see these little vans. They have to, and that's really an issue that the operators, here the regulatory framework is quite It challenges the operators. Yep. They have to have some criteria, and so social criteria, ecological criteria. So that's all in the package. So that's a good thing. We have to see how it evolves. But I can understand that a lot of questions we get is from, but is this really durable? Is this more durable than walking or biking? But
at the end of the day, these scooters are also still improving. The batteries improve every 2-3 years, so I'm sure they will catch up in terms of durability, I hope. But now that
do you remember the shared bikes? The pictures in China.
Oh yeah, the Ofo, the yellow bikes all over, like
they had like this mountains of bikes, and so I think that is something we really have to avoid, because
that is a nightmare. Everybody is scared. Exactly. That
so you can say it's like, and also what we saw is that it doesn't, the shared there are not a lot of studies yet the effects of shared scooters in a city. It does here in Brussels show that it does reduce the number of people using public transport. So in the peak hours, no, that's not a bad thing. Okay. In the peak hours, it makes it makes sure that some people use these shared scooters.
So balance, actually.
And so that's okay. Yeah, yeah. Because that makes more place in peak hours in public transport. So but that doesn't want to say that the region is investing heavily in upscaling public transport. But if you see that, you say that okay, there is a an added value.
Yeah, that actually shows that it's a good alternative for also public transport. It can be a complementary, but also like an alternative when it's full in the metro in the summer, full, super hot. You know, just take a shared scooter or a shared bike.
As you said, we have to like the prices. That's something that that astonishes me from time to time. Like it's quite pricey, actually.
Yeah, exactly. And now that we discussed the tender and the contract, I wanted to know what is the, let's say, the executive power of the government after the tender is agreed. For example, can you say that if you see after 6 months that the prices go up 200%, can you say, whoa, you can't do that, and they have to respect that, or... And the contract, it's not possible to...
That's not my responsibility. Okay. So I'm responsible for the drop zones and also telling the operators the different zones, like in the pedestrian zone, it's 8 kilometers per hour. So these are, we give the information to the Brussels region and they give it to the operators. And we say that, okay, you can drive your shared scooter there, but that's the maximum speed limit. There will also be zones where we will not allow the shared scooters, and then we also give all the information about the drop zones when they are implemented, and so we decide on the drop zones, and we the local government can decide on do we reglement the area, the parking, or not. And so here in the city of Brussels, we will regulate everything.
Okay.
So we will not. I don't really believe in the. There's this whole. Control
Of everything.
Chapter,
small,
And so we can fine the operators when they're parked wrong. But I think the only thing that will work is these drop zones. Yeah. They have to be correctly used. Yeah. And having these.
It shouldn't be an extra work for the city
to
manage
then
everything, right?
We have to have this like a group of people, controllers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people will complain. There you also have the responsibility of the operator. And actually, we will, if we see that there is a problem, so like there, it's not possible that there is a scooter not in the drop zone because the drop zone is 20 meters further. And so then we can tell, okay, there is a problem there, and if it's, and the operator has to react. And then there is one issue about which, like, it's a bit speed, but not about the parking, is the road security. So what we see in our numbers of road security, the numbers are...
You mean the accident of...
Accidents,
Of scooters and shared bikes, okay.
Yeah. So the accidents are going up. So we are heavily investing in making our city more safe. But the numbers of accidents are increasing because of the scooters.
Okay.
So that's something we really need to take into account. So you have now the federal government who they forbade that the two people are on the same scooter, the trottinette. But you see it everywhere.
I saw it today. Yeah. A dad and his kids. I was like, oh no.
Yeah. And so it's dangerous. It's dangerous. And then what I can't really like this. What you see is that people. They use the scooter and they always drive on maximum. Always. Yeah. It's like something in their mind. They have to drive on maximum because why would you reduce speed if you can go fast? But these things, they are quite unstable. And so if these, and I think the apart from the durability, the ecological question, are the scooters ecologically sound and durable. The big question will be if we see this accidents continuously going up. We had one death in the city of Brussels. Yeah. So
recently,
I think it's maybe a year ago. Yeah. Oh. And so that's serious, huh? And so if that continues to go up. It's a question that we'll have to discuss.
Yeah, exactly. But I think what might be important is the cause of these accidents, mm-hmm. because you know the number, but do you maybe also know the different causes and maybe put them in categories so you can say most accidents, like 60% of the accidents is because they are driving on the sidewalks, for example, and then 30% is because they are driving with two.
Yeah.
Do you know the cause of the accidents or do you only know
the... I don't have the details. Okay. It's just like an... an alert message. If you see like the graphs going down and down and down, and suddenly it goes up, and then we see okay, there's a correlation. The accidents we see in the streets are mostly related to scooters. Then it's a sign. There's not yet a conclusion, but if the coming years these accidents go up. Continue to go up, public opinion will say, and also we at some point you have to protect our citizens.
Yeah, and I think you should ask the operators to maybe give you categories of the different accidents so that you know exactly how to.
Limiting speed is something I think also important,
especially in shopping streets like the Ansbachlaan
Boulevard. Yeah, but there it's 8. That's a pedestrian zone.
Okay, but
yeah, and also and then like. I think in parks we should do the same thing, 8 kilometers an hour, and even in parks you should not have the parking around, like park around the park. So that there are some zones where how you say that it's people are relaxed.
They don't expect someone passing by 20 kilometers because you don't hear them come exactly. sometimes even the bikes, you know. Yeah.
So that's quite some challenges, and like the road security, that's the for me that's the biggest challenge.
Yeah. Exactly. So I mean, you briefly mentioned that after a while, maybe people might start buying their own scooters or their own bikes who use it frequently to commute. Now, what makes Paris, Antwerp, and Brussels quite special is Le Vélo, because that is usually a very trustworthy mode of transport, even for people who go to work. They take one at Brouckère and then they go upstairs to their job. So I wanted to understand a little bit how the situation is with Vélo here in Brussels, because they are lacking a little bit, because they had introduced electric bikes a while ago. And in France, they already have the electric bikes. I think in Antwerp, they will invest more as well. So I think that would also be an amazing alternative and also a complement to the already available shared mobility, right?
Shared bikes.
So it really fits in the whole package of Brussels, but it has been lacking a little bit. I was wondering what is the perspective, the future perspective on that?
In the tender, there are also bikes, if I'm not mistaken. You have the scooters.
The scooters and the bikes.
Yeah, and the bikes.
But the Vélo is
the Vélo is everywhere. It's station based.
That is why they have a great monopoly on the best locations to park. Close to the office.
That you have to ask. You told me
Minister Elke van de Brandt next week.
The minister, she will be able to tell you more about that. I think there is like scooters. There is a place for shared bikes in Brussels. That's for sure. What we see is that more and more, and that I think is a good thing, like the people who come to work here and people who live in Brussels, they bike more and more. So yeah. In terms of infrastructure, it will go up.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if people come here and use a bike instead of a taxi or instead of renting a car, better.
Yeah.
So the offer, now we have the Velo bikes. I think it needs an update.
Yes, but they are quite trustworthy because you know they're always going to be there at the station. And you know
see a lot less than before.
It's because they don't have e-bikes, I think.
So you have now the battery, but it's complicated. You need to... It's a complicated system. And so it needs an update. If you want... I was in Barcelona some time ago, and there you have this local...
BC...
and it really works. You see so many people using that system. And so, but I know that on a regional level, and the minister will be able to tell you more about it, they are thinking about a new system.
Yeah.
And it's necessary. Yeah, I think Velo did its work.
Amazing work.
When I came to Brussels, I didn't have a bike, but I had Velo. And I thought it was perfect. But then after some time, let's buy a bike because it's sometimes
makes sense. Right?
And so I think Velo did its work, but now it needs an update.
Yeah, exactly. And I think indeed they proven the need to have something like Velo, right? And the success is there. But an update is needed after maybe more than 10 years.
Yeah, more than 10, exactly. Yeah. So,
it was definitely a great investment that paid back to the city.
Yeah.
So now let's go back a little bit to the subject of the dedicated parking.
Yeah.
Even though the infrastructure is there, so basically the city has done what they had to do. They painted the lines. They made the regulations.
Yeah.
But still, the operators are a little bit behind with their users because their users not always respect it. So I assume even with the tender, the issue might still be there. Maybe not, maybe it might be. But how do you look at this challenge in terms of possibly having to face it again even after the tender? And what do you think might be the solution, or how would you try to solve it?
The thing is, when we will experience the fact that the drop zones do not work, we'll have to take the scooters away, and then they have these the framework exists.
With the fines and everything. Yeah. I saw in some communes they take them.
Yeah,
they
take them away. Like, and then you have the fines, and then when we start doing that, then I think financially the operators will be forced to do something. And so, they have the. I think the framework is quite clear. If you do not adapt, like I don't want to, like the city is not asking to take the scooters away. But if we see that it doesn't work, we get a lot of complaints. And now with social media, it goes really fast. So if we see that it doesn't improve, we have no other option than to take them away, and then you have the fine per scooter, and then I think they'll understand quickly that they have to do something.
Exactly.
So I think the framework is there. Exactly like you say, we are going to have to see how it is used. I hope the operators, there will only be two, and I think there will be their candidature will be scrutinized. Looked into very
And you detail. You can look at the experience they have. They are already present for many years, right?
Exactly.
They cannot really lie and promise you something. You can look at, this is how it was 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. So you have the results in front of you.
So I hope there will be a good collaboration with the regional government, the administration, Brussels Mobility, who will be able. They will have to organize, coordonner.
We have
this coordinating function, and we. I hope they'll like the problems we see on a local level that they quickly intervene.
What if, for example, hypothetically speaking, an operator says, "Okay." We are very happy with the city and the dedicated bike parking and bike racks that they provided, but we see that our users can still need more dedicated bike parking. And an operator said, is it possible that we invest and pay for the bike parking or bike racks to put there?
What we asked was for the... So I think if you let it to the operators, I don't know how long the tender will be every time.
I think 3 years.
So you risk having another operator every 3 years, with his own rack, bike racks of drop zones.
But it has to make sense in the whole city design, of course.
I think what we asked for to the regional government was, okay, give us the finances to create the drop zones.
Yeah.
And so we will create the drop zones. We will make sure that there are enough. But it needs to be financed because it's an enterprise.
It's an investment and it has to be.
And also the operators, they make money about it. So it's logical that they pay for the infrastructure that the government provides for them. So there is a system. Maybe the system needs to be a bit, fine tuned. And so we are getting subsidies from the regional government to implement the drop zones.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Sometimes
and I think. But there is like the operators, they have to pay the regional government.
For the license and
per scooter. I don't know. How much it is, but the regional government can give subsidies to the communes who create the drop zones.
Yeah, that's a good way of working.
I think it's okay. Yeah, I think it's
better
than
some accountability and a financial way as well because they invest in it.
Exactly, and then the operators, they if you let them, I mean,
it's gonna be like the Wild Wild West.
I'm a bit afraid of that. You started with bikes as well. You had the some bar cafes, like buying a small bike rack, and sometimes it's not good, it's not safe.
Yeah, sometimes they put it where people need to walk.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's better. We're putting 600 to 800 bike racks every year. The demand is increasing.
Yeah.
So it's better that the local government takes that into account. We also here for the drop zones, what's important for us is that the drop zones are separate from the bike parkings.
It's
not the same.
I noticed
on the bike parkings, because else the bikers say, okay, but they're taking all our parking space.
In Paris is the same thing as well.
Yeah.
But it makes sense.
Yeah, so there we create specific drop zones, and we'll see. We'll have to see if it works. And
All right. So to kind of end this great discussion that we had, quite interesting, I wanted to ask your opinion on the ban of scooters in Paris. Yeah. And to kind of lead into that question, I also wanted to ask what is your vision of Brussels as kind of because when Paris banned scooters, actually, I think Ghent and Leuven immediately also said, we will also ban scooters. But then Koen Canes from Antwerp was really progressive and said we will continue to work with the operators.
Yeah.
And Brussels also continues to work with the operators. Yeah. So that is really a progressive way of looking at the future, because obviously shared scooters and shared bikes have an added value and they are needed. So it's great that you see that. So I wanted to have your opinion on the ban of scooters in Paris. Yeah. What were your thoughts? But also your vision for Brussels as a shared mobility example for it's at the end of the day, it's the capital of Europe, so you have a great example to show, and you already invested a lot in the infrastructure. Good move that proved the haters that it worked. It's really a good move. A good move was a good move. So you already invested a lot for the future. So how do you see the mobility that will ride on this infrastructure and on good move?
I think shared mobility, I think we really have to study the positive and negative effects of it. We can't just say it's okay and let's keep it. I think the sector has to be very critical for itself. I talked about the ecological part. The engines, the scooters themselves,
manufacturing and stuff.
Manufacturing. You need to have the whole cycle taken into account. I think that's very important. If I'm not mistaken, now there are heavy investors who are just giving money, and the financial accountability is a bit okay. They can practically do what they want.
Now the money is running out, actually.
Exactly. Yeah, and so but that's, I think that's a logical thing.
It was bound to happen.
I think the ecological factor is very important, and that was one of the reasons that Paris decided for it. It was too polluting.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. I think the we need to follow that up very. I mean, like, what is the added value of the scooters? I talked about it, and then the first studies show that it has some added value, but it's contested. So we need more information on that, because in a city like Brussels, a very diverse city, of course, if you multiply the options, the alternatives, that's a good thing. So every alternative will be, will be a solution for someone who to change the way they move. And so, like, with the objective to have less pollution, safer streets. I'll come back to that. So the pollution element, if we can reduce the number of cars, polluting cars in the city, and also the use by cars, that's a good thing. But the other factor, and then that will be decisive, I think, is road safety. Okay. If we continue to see accidents going up with the scooters, the governments took already measures. Then we have to see. But in the ideal vision, the shared scooters do have a place in the offer that we give to people to move in the city, because I think it can be an added value. And there, I think we'll have like a competition between the bikes, the e-bikes, you told, the Velo, the future Velo, what will it be, and the shared scooters. Yep. There will be like a kind of competition between it.
The distance is different, right? I think the average distance for scooter is 2-3, but then the bike is a little bit...
So that's will be an interesting... element. So, but here, like in a diverse city, having a diverse palette of alternatives, it's a good thing.
Well, thank you very much. I want to thank you for your time. Obviously, I want to congratulate you on a good move.
Thank you very much.
It's been 1 year, but I wish you many more years, and that you can implement it also past Brussels. Other cities should look at Brussels as an example.
It's moving everywhere, and that's also the nice thing that you see. Like I said, in Barcelona, we had this conference with cities who are implementing.
And Ghent, there's also the low speed areas or
something. Low
and in London, emission zones. ULEZ,
low emission zones in Ghent.
Yeah.
And Ghent is one of the pioneers, but the pioneer was Groningen.
Groningen, I didn't know.
In the 70s.
In the 70s? Yeah. Wow, we are a little bit late, but we are here.
But we're catching up. We're catching up.
Right, that's a nice way to end the podcast. So thank you very much, and I'm looking forward to the future. And